What's the most shocking thing you've ever seen?
I think the more shocking things that have happened to me are the ones are the wrecks that people have walked away from that they probably shouldn't have.
Yeah.
Well, tell us about one.
There was a guy driving a camper, an RV down 65.
Like a Winnebago.
Like a Winnebago. Okay. Probably like the very first Winnebago. It was not a nice one.
1970 model.
Oh yeah.
Uncle Eddie's.
That's it. Mm-hmm. And he could not have been doing 45 down the interstate. I mean, it was, I remember passing him that morning on 160.
Wait a minute.
And I was like, that thing sounded terrible, but at least he's going somewhere.
Yeah.
And it wasn't 3 or 4 hours later, we had a call on 65 for an RV that has wrecked, been hit by an 18 wheeler. I was like, here we go. This could not be good. And we pull up on the interstate. And the man is still sitting in the driver's seat of the Winnebago.
Just going to park it right here for a minute.
He is parked up against the guardrail in the middle, the median. The rest of the Winnebago is gone.
And like, just it's severed.
It is severed. Only thing that's left is the front axle and the front seat.
This is as far as I'm taking it.
That's as far as he's
still sitting in it.
He's still sitting in it. Still sitting in it, and I walked up. I said, "Are you okay?" I was fully expecting him to be done. Said, "Hey, man, are you okay?" "I'm just afraid to move, because I don't know if there's any more cars coming or not." So, come to find out, he blew a tire, got squirrely on him, and he put it into the median on accident. And here comes 18-wheeler.
Boom!
He said, "I was just about to step out when that 18-wheeler hit me." He said, "I figured I'd just stay right here.
I better just keep my seat.
I'm going to stay right here."
Wow. "Do you happen to have any new britches I can
buy?" "Yeah. Have you got the traffic stop? I'm ready to get out."
I'm ready to get out now.
"Can I call mama?"
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Hayden Outbound Podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Victor.
I'm Clay.
Clay and Victor are good buddies of ours, and Clay is a firefighter. He's a professional firefighter and also a volunteer firefighter. When I was a volunteer firefighter, that's been a few years ago. But Clay's got some stories regarding the firefighting service and maybe a few just odds and ends there. We'll get into that a little bit later. And then Victor's along for the ride as well. He's going to tell us some stories from, as he says, my country.
Tell me a story. And on that note, Clay, tell us a story.
Yeah, tell me a story.
I started when I was 14 in February before I turned 15. And the very first training exercise I was a part of, which is what we were talking about earlier, was at on the Locust Fork River at County 13. It was swift water training. I'm 14 years old, keep in mind. So I have no clue what I'm doing. And learning quickly. And Kenny Booth Sr. gave me what they call a throw rope bag, floating rope. Said, "Here, if somebody goes down river, you throw it after them. That's it. That's your job." Well, I'm sitting down there and I hear somebody screaming. I look up. It's this older gentleman that I'd never seen before in my life. He strips naked, says, "I'm going to give you somebody to rescue." This is February, March. This is live action, pal. He comes running down the river, jumps in the water, and by God, we have a rescue situation at hand.
"I'm going to give you someone to rescue."
Did this guy hear y'all talking? Where'd this guy come from?
He shows up.
Kenny didn't call him.
And from that day in my fire service career, east of I-65, he was known to show up anywhere. He would cause his own scenes. He would show up on scenes.
Did you save him?
Oh, yeah, we saved him. Somebody saved him. It wasn't me. I was 14.
Did you throw the rope at him?
Like you're supposed to? I did throw the rope at him.
Did he catch the rope?
He did not catch the rope.
he probably didn't want to catch the rope.
Clay did his job, though.
I threw it. It wasn't very well, but I threw it. I had no clue how to throw a rope bag, but I threw it.
In the water.
In the water.
That's A+.
Yeah.
I hang in my book. He's a step ahead.
There you go.
So not a stitch of clothes.
In February.
In
the Locust Fork River.
Oh, he's floating. And there's rapids right there.
Oh, yeah. It was moving, too. Yeah, it was moving. There was a reason why we chose that day for swift water training on the river. Water was up.
Did you second guess your
choice to go into firefighting that day?
I don't know that I second guessed it. I decided then, I was like, I'm ready to see some more weird stuff.
I think you picked a good thing.
Yeah.
There's plenty of weird stuff you're going to see in that.
Plenty.
Are you in trouble? Well, we hope you're not. But just in case you are, we know a good lawyer. Whitney Island here in Hayden, Alabama has law services. Or maybe if you're not from Hayden, I'm sure she'd be happy to hear from you. So check her out at islandlaw.com. We appreciate Whitney and her sponsoring the show.
You and I volunteered. Well, you were a professional firefighter. I was a volunteer. I was legitimately a volunteer. Like, hey, just come help out when you can. The first real call that I ran was just down from my house on 160. And the tone goes out as a two-vehicle wreck, you know. Well, normally on 160, that's not a good sign if you've got a two-vehicle wreck, particularly in that curve right down there. So I just hop in my truck because I was off that day. It was on a weekend. And I go around the curve, and I look, and I see immediately I am severely underprepared for what has taken place. The guy that was driving the pickup truck had come out the moonroof. When they hit, he wasn't wearing a seatbelt. He come out the moonroof.
He went vertical.
He was up like the ejection seat through.
Ejecto seato, cuz.
Yeah.
Fast and Furious.
Mm. Okay, I didn't get the reference there, but I got you now. Well, I was Fast and Furious on the phone. I immediately pick up the phone and I start calling. I forget who the chief was at that time, but I called him and said, "Is anybody else coming to this wreck? Because this is not your everyday, hey, stop traffic."
Mm-hmm.
And so fortunately, there was someone else coming to the scene. And the chief just said, "Hey, go get the truck and then come back." Because looking at it, I thought somebody else may be trapped in it or whatever. But I will never forget there, because first of all, it's an adrenaline rush. That's why a lot of people do it, because you're trying to help. And
but what about the guy? I mean, what happened?
Well, I did skip that. The guy was still breathing.
That's good.
That's a plus. So I also told the chief, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, but I think Lifesaver would probably need to be on the way. So he said, yeah, I'll make sure they're on the way. He called and got them set up. So I left to go get the truck, and I come back, and Lifesaver finally had gotten there, and they loaded the guy up. And as far as I know, the guy lived. But what saved him was there was no, like, he had the moonroof open. So he just went straight out instead of like banging his head. And
so he didn't pull a goose.
That's right. That's right. He didn't hit the canopy. Didn't pull a goose.
We're good.
He just went straight through the open air. But I'll never forget how scared I was.
Yeah.
Like, wait a minute. I'm not prepared for this. But that's the life of a volunteer fire department. Like, you're
that
constantly.
Was your first call?
That was my first major call. I had been on a bunch of the blood pressure checks, or
yeah,
I mean, because mama was going to call and say, "Hey, I need you to come check my blood pressure. Or somebody's failed. You need to help pick them up." I'd been on several of those, but that was my first one of like, "Oh,
this is real. This is real emergency,
right?"
Yeah, you can't prepare for a lot of things and a lot of things you don't understand. But I was off one day, kind of tying it into the cattle farming thing. I was feeding hay to cows, and I heard this weird noise. It's just like a weird, I can't even explain it. It sounded like a go-kart almost. Then it spitted and sputtered, and I looked up, and all I saw was a tail end of an airplane going down. I was like, I don't think that was supposed to happen.
There's supposed to be more to that.
There's supposed to be a lot more to that. I don't think he was supposed to be that close to the trees either. So in my tractor, I drive most of the way to the fire station, because I had driven the tractor from the fire station where we unloaded it off the trailer. And that was about when the tone dropped for an airplane crash.
In downtown Hayden.
Downtown Hayden. Small little Hayden. as I'm driving the tractor back to the fire station where I'd unloaded it from, the whole time I'm going, there's no way this just happened. And then the tones dropped. And I'm like, okay, well, the chief's at work today. At the time, Kyle was the assistant chief. I was like,
and he don't know nothing about airplanes.
He was preaching. So it's me.
You're right.
I'm the designated survivor, pal. Like, I'm the only one in the territory that's supposed to know anything about what's going on. And I'm going through my head, and I was like, I have no clue how to handle this. All I ever wanted was to be in charge of something big. Here's my chance.
Here it is.
And get to the fire station finally and start, you know, the thing is, the ball's starting to roll. We're trying to figure out what's going on. Did an airplane actually crash? And Andy Bearden, who was a battalion chief at Birmingham at the time, who lives in Hayden, he called me and said, hey, you need help? I was like, absolutely. Meet me at the Dollar General in Hayden.
Mm-hmm. Which one?
Which one?
Well, at the time, there was only one.
Okay. Now we got three.
Yeah, then that was just three. But he come rolling up over there, goes, what do you need? And I said, well, you are the incident commander. I'm going to go to work, handle it. I didn't know what to do. I thought was supposed to know what to do. He's like, well, I've never had an airplane crash training. I guess we'll figure it out. And like 2 hours later, NTSB and FAA, all of them were on the way.
Did y'all go to the scene?
Well, we had to find it first. That was the troublesome part because there was literal fuselage, plane scattered from Armstrong Loop all the way up Gray's Gap Road.
How did I never hear about this?
You didn't know.
There was parts of airplanes falling over our house.
No, I know nothing about this. When did this happen? What year was it?
2017.
You didn't hear about it?
I wouldn't. I was in Phoenix City.
Phoenix City.
That's why I didn't know anything about it.
Yeah.
If you're in the market for a new house, I want to tell you about our latest sponsor, Vantage Plus. So they're general contractors. They specialize in new home construction, but also they do some dirt moving work. So clearing land, making roads. Y'all check them out. We'll make sure that we link the website and the phone number in the show notes.
But being a firefighter, there's no telling what all you've seen. Give me one of the most scariest moments that you've had when you've been firefighting.
Man, my mom's probably going to listen to this. I probably should be telling these stories.
Well, if you're going to get in trouble, I don't want mama mad at us. So
tell mama to turn it off. Yeah. Mute this for a little bit.
Mute it for a second. But one of the scariest things I've been a part of was I had just got stationed at Station 2 downtown Birmingham. And I had spent a lot of time out west in Inslee on Quint 20, which was like one of the, or it was at the time when I was there, it was the 26th busiest ladder company in the nation.
Making a lot of fires,
a lot of calls, busy. But I was working in and around 800, 600 square foot shotgun houses most of the time. Nothing, you know, really of note when it comes to the size of the structures in that territory. And then I get moved downtown to what some people call the high priority district, which is high rises, UAB hospital, UAB school, all of that. And this was back in 2018. So this was the time that Birmingham's Lakeview was really starting to prosper and all the new apartment buildings. Well, most people don't know that those apartment buildings they're throwing up, I mean, they are tinder boxes. I mean, there's really no construction that goes to them. It's OSB and plywood throwing them up, and they're getting thrown up in a matter of months. Anyways, there was an apartment that was being built, and it was still open air, so there was no roof on it, no walls. It was just studs and floor, and somebody went in there and set it on fire.
On purpose.
Okay. So
a little arson attack.
That's it. And my station was one of many stations that were dispatched on that call, but I was on truck two, and which is a big aerial platform truck with the big stick on it. And me and my lieutenant jumped up in the bucket. We raised up the bucket, and I can't remember how high we were up, 70, 80 foot. And the wind is howling, buddy. And if you haven't experienced wind downtown Birmingham and 70 foot up, it's like, I don't know if it's just the geographical area of Birmingham, but it's almost like the wind funnels in through the mountains, and then you cut it down in between the high rises downtown. It's just like it's amplified times a million sometimes. But when you're in a fire truck basket 70, 80 foot in the air, and a fire's going on. It's pretty intense, the wind. And it actually, it kicked up the fire. It fed the fires, you know, more oxygen, gave it everything it needed. Well, the heat started overcoming this fire, started overcoming this truck. And I didn't think it was that hot, but it was pretty hot. Noticed the handles inside the truck that actually operate the basket.
The basket.
Yeah, right. Were melting. I've got some cool pictures of my thumbprints in the joysticks. Because you have to pull up this little safety lever and, you know, press it down with your thumb to get it to go down.
I wouldn't be pulling. I would be flipping.
Let's get it up. Let's get down. My lieutenant, he was a loud talker already. And he is screaming in my ear. Hey, we have got to get down. Got to get down. And I was like, okay, hey, look, we got this.
We're fine.
Everything's fine.
You panic, you die. We're not going to panic.
Well, he turns on the water curtain, which is a mister on the bottom of the platform to kind of break up the heat. Mist absorbs heat better than pretty much anything else. And apparently it doesn't work when the fire's that hot because it immediately turned into steam. So now we're hotter than what we were. And he's screaming even louder, get down, get down, get down. So I'm going down and I look over to the side of the truck, making sure I'm not going to hit power lines or anything. And I hear the door shut at the basket. And I was like, that's weird. And I look over, he's gone.
He has bailed.
He has bailed. I look over the edge of the truck, and there he's laid on the ground. My legs! I tell this story all the time, so it's okay. I told it to him. So
there were two of you in the basket.
There was two of us in the basket, and then there was one.
Then he just jumps.
He jumps.
How high up are you when he jumps?
I don't remember. So the basket itself, when it's fully bedded into the truck, sits about 8 foot off the ground. We were not fully bedded. I think we were probably 20, 25 foot.
He wanted out of that basket.
He wanted out. And he ended up breaking, I think, both his legs.
Oh,
he was boogered up. He was boogered up. And
well, again, going back to the situation, that's fight or flight kind of deal, right? That really, really shows people.
It's fight or fall.
It's fight or fall.
I mean, he learned he couldn't fly that day.
Yeah.
Well, his fight or fall instinct kicked in, and he was going.
That's it.
Finish the stories.
And I feel bad for telling the story sometimes for being so lackadaisical. I can't even say that word.
Lackadaisical.
Nonchalant about it. How about that?
We'll just pick another word.
We'll pick another word because I can't say it.
Yeah.
Because he was actually injured. He was injured bad. It was a career-ending injury.
No.
But we're still good friends. We still talk occasionally. I gave him a lot of grief about jumping out of the truck. A lot of people ask for me to tell this story a lot at work just because of they don't really believe it when they hear it from somebody else. But so I hear the door shut, realize that he has jumped out. He's on the ground screaming. And you can actually see in the security footage from the security cameras across the street. You see me look over the edge, and then I just pull the joystick back down and just go the rest of the way to the bed of the truck.
Disengage.
Yeah, we're just going to keep going down.
Finish my task.
Wow.
Obviously, Clay is a task completer, buddy. I'm going to do my task. And,
well, you know, so, well, there's still the a job to be.
I'm going to go. I'm going to lay it back down too. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, there's still a job to be done. You know, whenever you are injured or your partner's injured and nobody knows about it, you're supposed to call what they call a mayday. Well, he hasn't called his own mayday yet. So it's my job to call one for him. I stayed calm
mayday,
from
mayday.
That's it. Three times, pal.
Yeah, one more.
Mayday.
So I have stayed calm from the time we are hot dogs on a stick on this fire to the time he's jumped out to the time we're back in the bed of the truck and he's laying on the ground. But when it comes time, we walk up to him and see how mangled he is. And now I can't even remember how to do a mayday. And that's one of the things we're supposed to train on is, you know, how to call your mayday. But when you're in that situation, even though it's not you that's injured, it's your partner. You can't do it, man.
Oh, goodness. You know, you were talking about the firefighting being inherently dangerous. One night, we were dead asleep. It was probably 1:30 or 2:30 in the morning. My phone rings. And anytime you get a phone call at 2:30 in the morning, it's not a good normally not a good thing. Well, it's our neighbor out here and it's his wife. And she says, Shane, get up. Our house is on fire. And so I'm reeling like at, okay, am I dreaming? And then I kind of come to and I said, what did you say? She said, our house is on fire. You got to come help us. So I'm like, okay. So I hang up the phone and I call 911 immediately and said, hey, my neighbors said their house is on fire. Give them the address approximately. And I tell my wife, hey, I'm going to go over here and see what's going on. So I put my britches on and I head over there and I get there and there's black smoke just rolling out of the windows. And he lived, the house was like you were talking about, those shotgun houses that were built in the 40s and 50s, mm-hmm. pure pine, tongue and groove, pretty much inside and out. Well, these two good old boys had stopped and they were going to help put the fire out. Of course, my neighbor's trying to do it with a hose pipe. And I'm like, partner, the best thing for us to do is get back until the fire department gets here. I'd trained enough or listened to enough guys to know that much. Well, the two boys that had stopped, they were going to help. And they went over to the front door and they were trying to knock it in. And I was telling them, do not knock the front door in. And one of the boys looked at me, he said, why not? And he just, boom, just boot kicked it just like that. When he did, that black smoke come out over his head. And I started yelling, you better get back. You better get back. Well, you could hear it like a jet engine. It was sucking that air in because it was struggling to get air where it was at. But when he kicked that door in, buddy, it sucked in all that air and it went boom. It just blew up over his head. And this singed his eyebrows and it blew them back, you know. And I was like, okay, this is now turned into a killing because they wouldn't listen to what
I tried to tell you.
I tried to tell them. Mm. But that's one thing I had learned is that you don't kick the door in because if that air is backdraft, I think is what it's called. You probably know the technical terms. But when that backdraft hit and that flame shot over their head and over behind them, I was like, well, it's over with.
You think they ever did that again?
I hope they didn't, but they may have because they wouldn't listen to me telling them, don't kick the door in, don't kick the door in.
Well, I happen to know the two good old boys who stopped. They have not done it again.
No. You know what happened, though, immediately then? They got in the truck and left.
And they left.
They did.
We've seen enough.
We've done enough here. We've helped out enough.
Yeah, you helped.
See y'all. And I'm talking about that thing went up like that.
Kick that joker off, man. We were there for hours.
Yep.
Hours. You didn't burn it down.
No. You did save it.
Still had four walls and a roof.
Do you remember all the bullets that were going off in there?
Oh, man.
Pow, pow, pow. And they were heating up and, man, it's no good. That was scary.
Are you in the market to buy or sell a home or a piece of land? The experienced team at White Real Estate is ready to partner with you. Darren and Rhiannon White, Ryan Love, and Lisa Sloan are one call or email away. As a homeowner who has received their help, I encourage you, give them a call today at the number included in the show notes.
But it's funny because talking about fire, I remember one day I went to work with Shane. He said, hey, buddy, we need to go to work. And I said, okay, you need to get ready by 7. I said, okay. I get ready. We jump in the truck. We go to work. We're building or trying to clean. He was trying to clean this property and smoke grass. Like, we need to cut these trees and everything, and we're going to start a fire, okay?
I do like to start a good fire.
A little power.
He loved that thing, and I was like, okay, how are you going to do it? We have the leaf blower, and I got the diesel, and we're going to start a fire, okay? Okay. And he started the fire. He was so excited. Need to start the fire. I was like, let's go.
Yeah.
He was blowing air, and that thing was going high.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, come on, Victor. Pick that tree and throw it in the fire. And I was like, man, this is hard. I feel like I don't have no eyebrows anymore. Mm-hmm. What are you talking about? Come on, Victor. Don't be sissy. Come on. Okay, I throw it and I run. That was hard. So we went to eat lunch. Okay, yeah, we went to eat lunch. And when we came back, it was this pine tree behind us. It caught on fire.
Got so hot.
Yeah. I mean, the flames.
And it's standing.
Yeah. So caught on fire. And Shane was like, what are we going to do? He said, I said, what are we going to do, Shane? And he said, are we going to stay here and wait until that tree branch fell off? And I was, are you for real right now? He said, yeah. And we sit down staring at that thing, waiting on that thing fell off that tree. He said, you know what? We need to call the fire department right now.
That ain't going to get it. We're going to have to call somebody.
Yeah, because it was almost about time to leave, you know, go home. Yeah. It was 4:30, probably 5. But, you know, we need to call the fire department. I was like, okay, let's call it. Nobody answered. I don't remember what county answered.
Yeah, no, it was Blount County.
It was Blount County.
Because I called Clay first.
Yeah, so they answer and they show up. We start this fire, you know, and now that pine behind us got on fire. But the hose, the water hose, wasn't long enough to reach that pine tree, okay? And I was like, but what are we going to do, Shane, now? He said, let me get my kick steer. Now you jump in the kick steer and I will lift you up. So, let's go. You be the fire.
You're the firefighter.
That was Blount County Fire Bucket.
Yeah. So he went and grabbed the kick steer. And I was like, are you for real? Like, yeah. Yeah. Somebody have to do it.
Did you not hear what Clay said? You work with what you have.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Unless OSHA or the EPA finds out about diesel fuel and using skid steer buckets to put out a fire. Like, we're going to dial it back a notch.
And I was like, okay, let's do this. Yeah, let's do this.
Victor, you got to change your story. You weren't working that day. You were volunteering.
Yeah.
I was working.
No, Victor.
He didn't pay me, but I was working. You're okay. Right.
Did you get it put out? That's what everybody's going to want to know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
success.
Yeah. We
nobody
we
was hurt.
The fire. Yeah. Nobody was hurt. I was scared. You know.
Yeah.
Shane came up with the ideas that you will never.
I do good with the fires.
He is an idea generator. He calls me with ideas all the time.
No, but I'm talking about, okay, you jump in the kick steer, in the bucket of the kick steer, and I will lift you up.
I've known him my whole life. Yeah, I'm not even surprised. I mean, I was thinking, that sounds pretty logical.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We needed 8 more feet. You got a skid steer that goes 8 feet.
But did it work?
Yeah, it worked.
But did you die?
But did you die?
No. But
he's still here. This is not his spirit. So you're from Nicaragua.
Yes.
What did they tell us about? They have fire departments. What? How does that work?
Well, in my country, you know, it's weird because the fire department, your house, anything will burn down before they get there.
Okay, so it's volunteer.
No. I mean, I'm talking about
they're paid.
Are they paid?
They get paid.
Oh, it's
but
it's
you
legit.
You call them, and I mean, you know, it's hard, I guess, for them to know if people are calling because it's an emergency or just calling because of, you know, they trying to be funny, you know, so, but they will show up an hour later and it's
too late.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Things are done then.
Yeah. Late. Everything is done, but by the fire, not by them rescuing what caught on fire, you know?
Well, I will say, let me say this though about Nicaragua. Most of the buildings there are masonry materials.
Yeah, concrete. So
concrete blocks, that type. No drywall, no lumber like this. I mean, it's masonry stuff. So you don't have a ton of house
fires.
Yeah,
most of the stuff that caught on fire is inside of the house, like the bed, you know, couch, those type of stuff. That's what caught on fire.
Okay.
But other than that, you won't see no houses burning down because of the fire. No.
All the bathrooms are tile. I mean, you know, like you said, the only thing you got to worry about really burning up is your clothes.
Contents.
Mm-hmm. The structure's still going to be there.
Yeah.
So they don't get no big hurry.
Wow. Well, that's a different perspective.
Put a new roof on it and call it good.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Can't get the smell out hard, but
just put kills on it.
Yeah, that's right. Well, what else? So we've talked about scary. We've talked about shock. What other
funny.
Thing?
What about a funny
yeah, give
call.
Me something funny.
We had a lady one time call us. It was not drug related. It may have been. But she called us. She wasn't sure that her refrigerator light was turning off when she shut the door.
Stop it.
911, buddy.
She called 911. She called the
E911. E911.
Did y'all go out there?
We did.
You got to.
Listen.
Aren't you required by law? If it comes through, you got to go, right?
Look, and people will call the fire department for anything.
Well, okay, let's do one thing at a time. You got some go. So I want to hear some of these other. I want you to detail some of those things. But all right, call comes in. We got this refrigerator light question.
Now look, the dispatchers know not to put that out over the air. Hey, this lady doesn't think her light's going off in her fridge.
Okay.
They just say assist occupant. And I happen to look down at my phone, which we get our calls on our phone as well. And I look at it and I look at the dispatch notes and it says, occupant doesn't think that her light is going off in her refrigerator when she shuts the door. So you've got to be kidding me. It's like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Man.
I'm nice. Already not happy. But we
it's
get
your
there.
Job. So obviously, she probably wake up to try to grab a glass of milk.
A midnight snack.
Yeah,
something like that. And so obviously you're trying to cure yourself to get out there now. What is a pickup there?
And so I get there and it's this sweet older lady. And she says, hey, sorry to call, but I don't think my light's going off in the refrigerator and I don't want it to start a fire. It took me, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. It took me a good 5 minutes to come up with a way to prove to her that the light's going out. I would open the door and I'd hit the little the tripping thing and make it go off. She goes, I just don't think it's going off. And she'd sit next to it and just ease the door shut. And as soon as it's shut, she'd be like, see, I don't think it's going off. Finally, brain fog left. And I was like, I'm going to stick my phone in there with the video recording and we'll do it that way. And she was satisfied.
That's a pretty good plan. I don't know that I could have come up with that at 3 o'clock in the morning. I would have just reached over and went, unplugged.
So when you show her the video, what did she say?
She's like, well, I'm sorry for calling.
She was convinced.
She was convinced.
You know what? You've convinced me.
I'm going to go back to
I'm
bed.
I'm going
now.
To bed.
Well, but listen.
Thank you for your service. Yeah.
Yeah, y'all can leave better.
Now. Wait, it gets better.
It gets better.
Wait, there's more.
There's more. She says, can you help me to my bed? Absolutely. So I help her to her bed and I didn't tuck her in, but I was like, all right, good night. We'll see you next time. Cause she was a frequent caller.
Frequent flyer.
Mm-hmm. We'll see you next time. I get back in the truck and I make it almost back to the station. Tones go off again. Occupant requesting for you to return. I was like, well, I've already proved to her that the refrigerator light's going off. Well, I walk inside and she goes, can you hand me my remote? So not once has she called 911. She has called 911 twice.
Twice. You're not making this up. No.
This if is I'm lying, hilarious. I'm dying, pal.
This is
hey, buddy. Hilarious. My remote.
The remote. You forgot about something.
Yeah.
My remote.
Right here. It's
crazy. So you, obviously.
I handed the remote. And I made sure. I
was you like, didn't do it begrudgingly either, did you?
Oh,
did you
no.
do
it with it a was, smile? It was a smile from Absolutely. Ear to ear. Service with a smile.
So we have spent $30 in diesel fuel,
probably more than that in that fire truck,
to make sure the refrigerator light's off and a remote control's in the hand so she can turn on the TV. And
sleep in peace.
I just
all in a day's work, baby. I just have always assumed before. I have some friends that are firefighters as well, and they've shared some similar things like this. But until they did that, honestly, I thought that it was truly. I'm not calling 911. If I call 911, you can bet I've run out. There's a problem, and I have no solutions for it. I had no idea, man, that people would just like, well, who can help us? Well, call the fire department. Let's take a moment. You teased us with. That was just the tip of the iceberg with some of the requests. Can you just spend a few minutes and give us some more examples of these requests?
Man, there's so many. And I don't want to pick out just, you know, a couple because I'd be doing a disservice to the rest of them because they're all good.
Feel free.
They're all good. Yeah. We were, there was one day this guy swore up and down that he was bit by a snake.
That's
a legit call.
Yeah.
We're in Birmingham.
Unlikely, but
given the geographical area it was in,
possible.
There's a creek nearby. Very possible. Get there, and he is holding his foot. He's like, I was bit by the snake. And we're like, where's the snake? Where's the snake? What did it look like? And he kept pointing to it. He goes, I smushed it to crumbs.
Oh, no.
It's like, So the other guy was with us, he points it out. There's an earthworm.
Wow.
I promise you.
That's like, fish bait, baby. Yeah,
that's it.
Well, no wonder he's able to smush it to crumbs. I believe that.
And if you think about it, when you step on an earthworm, it's like crumbs. He smushed it to crumbs.
Bit by a snake.
Well, were you able to comfort him and let him know that his chances of living are 100%?
Man, you know, I think he still wanted to go to the hospital. I don't remember. Man, we run calls all the time. It's hard to really pinpoint where the call went after we went there.
After you went there.
But you know this happened. Like, I know it happened. I just don't remember what happened to him afterwards. But
a week after I moved here, Shane's uncle invited me to go fishing.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, that sounds like a good idea. I said, I've never fishing before. Or if I went to fishing in my country, it wasn't like here, you know, like a reel. You go to the river and you throw lines or reel it in and throw it in. So Shane's uncle invited me to go fishing. And I go, okay, let's go. Let's go fish. So I was fishing. I was so excited. My brother was there. I was so excited. So somehow I saw something moving in the water, but it wasn't a fish, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was like, what in the world is happening right now? So.
You're still fishing.
Yeah, I was still fishing. Yeah. But that thing kept moving, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It was moving. And it was in a snake. Okay. Okay. I was like, that's no good. So I told
that is no good. You're right.
That is no good. I was scared, you know. Yeah. So I told Shane's uncle, hey bull, there's something in the water. There's a snake. So what are you talking about? Let me go see. So he started walking.
Where the
snake was. And I was fishing. Bam! Oh. What happened over there, bull? Don't you see it, Victor? See what? Don't you see the blood in the water? No. I shoot him in the head!
Where am I?
And I was like, you got to be kidding me right now. Yeah, I kill it. You want that snake so you can make a bell out of it? So
no, I don't need that. I don't know.
But I was like, oh my goodness. You know, it was my first time seeing somebody shooting something, especially in the water.
So that wasn't Nicaragua. That's not happening.
No. You will never see nobody shooting a snake. You know, we use the machete and cut the head.
Yeah.
But
that's personal.
Yeah. I hate you. No, but
scariest day ever. Snakes and pistols.
Yeah.
Pistols and
bull.
Snake, pistol, bull. That's a good story.
Yeah. That is a good one.
Do you remember? I think you might have been on this call with me and Kyle going into this lady's house. So, and she had like a couple little dogs in the house. And Kyle made the comment something along the lines of, boy, like walking in, he's like, man, this lady's always got these little dogs, and I'm afraid, because she was a frequent flyer, I'm afraid I'm going to step on one of the dogs or something like that. So we're going in there, we're taking her vitals and whatever. And he was like, all right, ma'am, you know, we got you squared away. And he takes a step back and I hear it go, just squish.
Oh.
And you see his face.
Mm-hmm. All color. You can literally see the color go. He knew what he did. He knew exactly what he did.
He had centered a pile of manure.
Only one thing makes that sound.
Yeah. Oh. And he said, okay, ma'am. I mean, you know. He had it up to here. He's like, that's it.
All professionalism's gone. He has stepped in a pile of doggy doo and he is done.
He's done. Out of this
I'm
one.
Getting out of here.
And he fussed all the way back to the station. I'm not going back. I don't care if she calls 20 times. I ain't going back.
He went back.
Yeah, he did.
After walking through the yard and dragging your foot all the way through the grass.
He went back.
Yeah, he went back. For sure, because she's going to call again.
Carpet or hardwood?
I think it was.
I'm pretty sure it was carpet. It was
he just grounded in the carpet there, you know?
That was crazy. You know, we get crazy calls a lot. Somebody kept putting pipe bombs somewhere, and they were legit pipe bombs. And somebody thought they saw a pipe bomb at the Conoco off the 287 exit. Unlikely, but we got the call for it.
That's it. Hey, they've been some spotted elsewhere, maybe.
So, I mean, this is before either of us went to recruit school, so we're still volunteers, 18 years old at the oldest. We're driving this fire truck to the 287 on a pipe bomb. We're the only ones going.
Kyle's making a plan.
Kyle will come up with a plan now.
May not be a good one.
It may not be a good one, but he'll come up with a plan. And I feel like sometimes he told me not to cuss him tonight because he bailed on us.
Well, yeah. Well, but he's going to get a good one.
Oh, yeah. But
I'm not through with Kyle.
But I feel like if Kyle would just air out his ideas sometimes, his friends or family listening to those ideas, but hey, man.
Not a good one.
So all these bad ideas are internalized.
When he's bouncing ideas, he bounces them off himself. He ain't letting nobody else know about it. And at the time, they're the best idea ever. He is coming up with a plan for this pipe bomb. Well, we don't have EOD suits at the fire department.
What's an EOD?
Like the explosives ordnance disposal, like military guys.
The ones that walk around
marshmallow
like this.
Guys. Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. We don't have those.
Yeah.
We don't have little bomb drones or robots. We have typically law enforcement handles that stuff. We pull up. Kyle is in full turnout gear. Boots, pants, helmet, everything. He jumps out the truck, goes walking up to the pipe bomb, which looked legit. It was had some wires hanging out of it. He flips down his plastic shield over his helmet.
His bulletproof plastic shield.
I don't know what it would have helped.
Just in case. Yeah.
But he flips down his shield and kicks the bomb.
No, he didn't.
And it goes scooting across the parking lot. And he looks back and goes, it's good.
Hey, we're good.
We're good.
No bomb here.
Kyle.
I couldn't really process what was going
on. Believe he did that.
Well, he did. And he tells
kicked
that
the pipe bomb. And it was probably right there amongst all the gas pumps.
Oh, yeah, the gas right pumps. In the middle of it. Spectators.
That was you're moving back steadily the whole time.
I think I was hiding behind the bumper of the truck. I was just kind of peeking around. That was when we knew we needed a fire district.
Is he going to kick it?
Some more training.
Great day.
That's when it really set in. We need a little bit more.
So needless to say, if he had aired that idea out on the way, you would have probably said that's the best idea.
I remember the deputy, Blount County deputy, pulled up and she was like, where's the pipe bomb? And Kyle's like, I checked it out. It's fine. And she goes, well, how do you know? Well, I kicked it. She goes, you did what?
Reasonable.
Well, I mean,
look, reasonable response.
The problem was mitigated. Mm-hmm. Probably not the right way, but it was problem mitigated. Solved. Not a pipe bomb.
Oh, Kyle. Well, man, it's been a lot of fun. You've carried us to the river and thawing ropes into the fire. Into the refrigerator.
And everywhere
Victor
in between.
Took us to Nicaragua. We have took a journey tonight. It's been fun. So Victor and Claire, really appreciate y'all being
Thank you.
Made it a lot of fun. On a Friday night, late on a Friday night. This will go out on a Tuesday, but this was a late Friday night recording. But this is the Hayden Alabama Podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Victor.
And I'm Clay.
We'll see you next time.
Thank you.